All right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Sheep Fan podcast. This is episode 235, hosted on our very own bullshit platform. Through our big shill mics, with me and my other shill brother, Chris, the large nostril shills.
Small nostrils, brother.
Yes, small nostrils, brother. Beaming out from London, not from London, from Cambridge and West Yorkshire. The format is simple. We release a minimum of 4 shows a month. I know it's still difficult to grasp that, but people still email in and saying, I haven't got my shows. But anyway, members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one plus download. All new shows are available and released on Saturdays, and they're always at sheepfan.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic and distribute out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible and Tapple. There were a few issues last week, and you won't have known that, Chris, because you don't get involved in any of that stuff. Sorry, you were fixing it, sorry. we've been doing some updates on the website, and people on a certain date couldn't renew because, you know, the video we're putting on, that's more or less finished now. In fact, I need to talk to the guy about putting it live. There's a few little things I want him to change, but we'll have the video now where we better put, like, we're recording this and you just listen to the audio. There will be another part of this where you better watch the video if you want to.
Yeah.
And download the video to watch. And it's up to you. Yeah, that's hopefully coming sometime in August, I would have thought now. Please subscribe to the website for all email notifications for new shows, etc. Join us on Instagram. And not just new shows, if we do a live gig, we'll be sending emails out on that as well. So if you subscribe, it's not just for the podcast. Join us on Instagram where Chris is there, or email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Thanks for buying supplements from Elf Bunker. There's a lot of new products going on there, and I'm going to do a separate podcast and show people what we're doing, not because I'm trying to sell out, because people are asking me to do that. I'm also going to do a video of me doing my green juicing, Chris, because people are asking me about that as well.
All right.
But I've just got to get around to it. It's time, man. Time. I've been too busy. Good busy, but too busy. Get onto Chris's gaping gobs. Buy some ashtrays. And some clogs. Yeah.
You need to send you another link for that fact, because it didn't go to my shop. It just goes to a random page with one of them on it.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Send me another link. Yeah.
I keep forgetting. I forget every week when you say it.
Yeah. Because we're good marketers.
Yeah.
if you're listening to this, it'll be July the 5th, which we're probably at Huddersfield at Pennine Manor now, getting ready, setting up, and starting the live talk. If you're listening to this, it's released sometime in the morning. But yeah, we'll be up there and do it. The tickets for the London London live event at the Backyard Comedy Club in Bethnal Green. They went on sale last weekend. Some people actually emailed in. Can you let us know when they go on sale? And they'd already been on sale for about 4 days. So I think people just catch up with the podcast, don't they? You know, for us, you think people are listening to them, like, when you release it type of thing.
Might be a week
and
later.
And we do the same thing, don't we?
Yeah. The same thing, yeah. But they're on sheepfarm.co.uk in the shop, aren't they?
That's correct, yes. Yeah, sheepfarm.co.uk. The link is in the description for everything I've just mentioned there.
And I've done a beautiful Batman-inspired London ticket.
Yes. Today's podcast, we've got on Gareth Icke.
Yeah.
A really good chat we had with Gareth, wasn't it?
Yeah, really nice bloke. Really liked him.
Yeah.
I listened to him on that. They do a podcast called WTF, him and his mate. I listen to that quite a bit. I think they bring it out every week.
Right.
It's quite good. It's good. It's funny. But he was a really nice bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Strange talking to him when you've got the whole history and story of David Icke in it. And I've seen him around.
I've sort of got used to it now, to be honest with you, Chris. Talking to people who...
It's nice, though.
I mean, I've always said I've never really watched David Icke. I know a lot of people say people is this and that, but
yeah,
I've ever heard anything that is said that
I've never disagreed with much.
I can't ever. I was having a conversation with somebody today at the clinic, actually, about that. They're asking who we're on this week. I said, Gareth Icke. I said, oh, yeah, he woke me up. Right? Yeah. She said. So what I'm trying to say is I know more people have said that to me.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the jabs. I know more people who don't want the jab Oh, didn't wish they hadn't had the jab than people that said, I wish I'd have had it. And so, yeah. I mean, I think Mark went, Mark Devlin did it. Did David Icke, he was one of the guys that he listened to, or his dad. It was his dad actually.
It was his dad that got, David Icke, he said that was the beginning of his story, if you like.
His journey.
His dad used to read David Icke.
Yeah, so David Icke threw his dad to Mark, and he probably wouldn't have had Mark's stuff if it hadn't been for David Icke, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then look at his son's now doing Iconic and all that. Lot.
Yeah. And it's not about agreeing with everything everybody says, by the way. I don't expect everybody to agree with us. It's when you're splitting hairs, isn't it? I mean, we're going to talk about Glastonbury in part two. But when you're splitting hairs and saying, yeah, I'm with you because of 2020 and all that type of stuff. But bombing kids and blowing their arms and legs off, that's all right. You know, I'm on Israel's side. You know, you can't have both because it's all Satanism. It's all...
But you'll say people give David Icke for not following the flat earth thing. But, you know, this is a perfect example of what he's talking about. You personally have been accused of being accused of being anti-Semitic once?
Yeah.
So, right. Then recently I saw a comment saying, why do you sit on the fence and never mention the small hat wearing people?
Yeah.
So you what I mean is you've had that same comment from both ends of the scale.
I have had both, yeah. I've been called anti-Semitic and
you
never
don't discuss it.
Yes, no.
How does that work?
It doesn't. It can't work.
And I don't think
it?
You do either. Actually.
No. No. But, so do you know what work? I try and look I'm quite I suppose if you were political you'd be a centralist, wouldn't you? That's what they call them, don't they?
You're an anti-Semitic Zionist.
Racist. Yeah. I actually got called racist by a white person.
Right.
Right. the same person called me racist, basically. Right. He was basically calling me a racist who's never actually been subjected to racism like me or you have.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I've had bad racism, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
He's never been subjected to it, right? Yeah. So he doesn't even understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm questioning the killing of children. If you can't question the killing of children, right?
It's then fucking time to give up.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Talking of racism.
If you're sticking up for killing children, innocent children, and bringing them out of buildings and body parts, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't care whether it were Dresden. I don't care whether it were Pol Pot. I don't care whether it were in Africa.
Yeah.
If you're killing children, running through and killing them.
And whether that Hamas false flag struck organised terror was legitimate at all, let's say it was real. It's still not right.
No. And in fairness, if it were real, they're evil. If Israel did it to their own people, they're evil. It's irrelevant. Something's going on.
It's a whirlwind of evil.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't make me stupid cat.
But I suppose, I don't know how we're going to hear from Gareth Icke. Sorry, Gareth, but we did. But that's where the conversation goes. I think it's more the fact that, you know, I've got. I liked having the conversation with Gareth. I thought it was great. You know,
me too.
And that's all I can get out of things. If you have a conversation with somebody, and you don't feel any negativity from them people, which I can't say we have from anybody we've had on this podcast, to be honest with you.
No.
Maybe Neil Sanders, who didn't turn up. About 4 years ago.
Still got a grudge.
Maybe him. But other than him, right, I can't really say I've had any negative thoughts about anybody who's been on this on here.
No.
I think if that's why I know people email in for people, but you've got to be quite picky who you get on, to be honest with you. And that doesn't mean to say the people you email in are not right either, by the way. We've always left it to the universe. I know it sounds a bit pathetic, but we haven't chased people, have we? We always leave it, and it tends to just happen.
We've emailed a few folk, but nothing excessive.
I email people once, and that's it. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Emailed in and said, "Can you?" And I've emailed them and they've not got back to me. I'm not going to send 25 emails. I'm too busy.
You miss them, don't you? I miss them.
Everybody misses them. I don't take it personally. I understand that they're busy.
I'm not an avid email person. I'm not an avid person who sits here.
But I'd like to thank John Hamer, actually, who introduced us to Gareth.
Yeah. I'll see John on Friday. I've never met him.
Oh, you've not met John, have you? Yeah, we're meeting John Hamer on Friday. He's staying over at the Pennine Manor. Should be a good talk, actually.
What's he talking about?
Falsification of history, I think he's doing. On evolution.
Nice, good. I love that bullshit story, don't you?
Yeah, another bullshit story.
Yeah.
I think John will enjoy it as well. It's the first one he's been to one of our little swarries. I had Michael O'Diera. Why are we talking? How long are we on from here? We've done here 12 minutes already.
It's 12 minutes.
But Michael O'Diera emailed me and says, how come I wasn't invited? We could have had Huddersfield on.
Oh, yes.
I said, well, next year I'm contemplating doing like over a weekend.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know.
What do you mean, more than Saturday and Sunday? What do you mean, continuing to Sunday?
No, like do 2 days of talks.
Right. Probably have to do it with a bank holiday.
I don't know. Whatever. Or an half day Sunday. You know, just do a couple of talks on Sunday.
Or if you had a bank holiday on the Monday.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mayday, whatever.
Yeah. Give us some feedback. Next May, we'll probably do, maybe try and do over a Saturday and a Sunday. Maybe the bank holiday at beginning of May. Something like that. That might work, might it, Chris?
Can make some sheep fan bunting.
All right then. If you're joining us for part two, we'll see you there. If not, I hope you enjoy this chat we have with Gareth. See you soon.
Bye.
All right, welcome back to the Sheep Fan Podcast, brought to you on our bullshit platform, as usual, from Yorkshire. Beaming out live from Yorkshire. Well, not live, we're recording, I suppose. I think this is episode 235. Chris will be rattling his brain cell.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, fine. It is 235, yeah.
Right, okay, right. So we put up with each other for 235 episodes over the last five
and the rest.
Years. Yeah, well, yeah, and 40-odd years, if you throw that into the mix, 50 years or whatever. Today we've got with us Gareth Ike. Welcome, Gareth.
Cheers, mate. Cheers for having me. Before we started, you said you had a 31-year-old son, and I'm still trying to do the maths on that. That can't be possible.
Yeah, well, both of us got 30-odd-year-old kids. Yeah. My son's 2 months older than... I'm 55, yeah. Me, right?
I'm 52.
56 this time, yeah.
I'm 51, sorry, 52 this year.
Yeah. Young at heart.
I don't know where my paper round was then compared to yours. Easy, Louise.
I had to get ill to get better. I had Lyme disease.
I know what it was.
Yeah,
but I've also got a 7-year-old, Gareth, so I've done both ends. I had him when I was like 21, and now I've got a 7-year-old as well.
Oh, yeah, I've got a 7-year-old as well. Yeah, right.
Really great, aren't they?
Yeah, mate. When you get over one challenge and you think you've got it, I've sussed this parenting lark.
Yeah,
they have another development.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Mine went through the slime thing a while ago. I bought these two big buckets of slime glue that she wanted, a transparent one. Played with it for 10 minutes and just moved on. Over slime, it's over.
Yeah, my youngest, she's nearly four, she still loves slime.
Right.
She loves just getting it in stuff.
There's a period, like a slime period, isn't there, that they go through? Yeah, my kids went through it. My daughter, she's in her 20s now, she went through a slime period. My youngest is 14, he went through a slime period. Yeah.
Didn't exist when I was a kid. There was just one little pot of green slime you could buy.
Mud and worms.
Toxic slime.
Might have been, yeah. Same thing.
Ball in a wall when I was a kid, that was basically it.
But to answer your question, I live quite an healthy lifestyle now. So we run an alternative health clinic, me and my wife, as well on me. So that's why I'm a bit late today. We got caught in traffic coming back. But yeah, we do.
Got yeah, that's,
vitamin
that's
IVs.
You don't look 55, I've got to say.
Well,
mate,
that's good to hear. At least I know it's working.
I think it does.
I might feel 55 though.
Well, that, yeah, I must admit. I mean, I'm at that point now where I still play ice hockey. I went back, I had 26 years out where I went off and did like music and all other stuff. And I went to an ice hockey match again and I got a real buzz for it. And I thought to myself, would I be mortified if I literally never played again? And I'm like, yeah, I would be. And it's like, well, you better start playing now then. Cause you know.
Yeah.
And so I went out and got like a load of kit, which is not cheap, but I invested in myself for once. And, yeah, I went back and I love it. But for 2 days afterwards, mate, I'm
ice hockey's deadly, man.
I'm walking like an old man.
Yeah.
Now
I used to like ice skating, actually. Saying it was crap at sport, but I did like ice skating.
I could see you in a tutu.
It's just when anything... I love it, mate. I do love it. I know it's bread and circuses, and people give it all that every time I talk about it. But I do. I just love
it. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it, don't you?
That's it. And in this realm, we've got to find some joy from something, haven't we?
But I think the trouble is with sport, and it's from my opinion, me not being a sports person, it's great, you know, people going with the kids to foot, but it's just been so monetized on it.
Big time, mate.
Man sport where he'd take his son to the football. I mean, my mate, he's had a Huddersfield Town season ticket since we were kids, and he used to go with his dad. And I still see he goes with his dad, and now his daughter goes with him as well, which is lovely. But even now, he's like, it's just become too much now.
I know what you mean, mate. I was a season ticket holder at Derby County for it was about the best part of 10 years as a season ticket holder. And then I had my first daughter 7 years ago. And so I give the ticket up, but I give it up to a couple of mates because it was a wicked seat in the south stand, which is the noisy area where all the, ultras, for want of a better term, are. And it was great. And so I give it up, but I give it up to them. And they shared it for a couple of years. Because the plan was, as soon as my daughter was old enough, I'd take her to the football and that'd be, and I'm like that now. It's just, Derby went bankrupt in the end anyway, but they've started paying mercenaries 35, 40 grand a week to just not turn up, to basically not jog much further than the centre circle. And I remember just standing there thinking, why am I paying for this?
And also, once you see through the veil, if you like, you're just watching, the cricket we're on, England were playing the other day, and I turned it on, and the first thing I saw on the sort of signage around it was a rainbow flag going all the way around. And I thought, and I just turned off. I thought, fuck that, I have my mind poisoned with all that crap going into it straight away.
Mm. Yeah, that stuff's everywhere, mate. It's they literally just ram it down your neck at every single possible thing. Like for me, I'm I guess what you'd call an old school Southern softy liberal. Like, you do you, hun. Do what you like. Yeah, yeah. As long as it doesn't affect anyone else negatively, and then I don't care.
I would say, Gareth, our generation, my generation, going clubbing, if you like, and whatever, your generation, we don't care if somebody's gay.
Don't give a shit.
Just get on with it, man. They're a human. Who cares?
Oh, same. You find that, though, that became a thing a few years ago, didn't it, where I think the X Factor played a role, and that might sound left field, but it became cool to have either a victimhood or a minority status. Mm. So it's like, I'm going to stand here and go, right, this happened to me when I was a kid, and this happened, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, all right, just sing, mate. I'd love for someone to have gone on those shows and just say, I had a great childhood. Parents are in the audience. Yeah, really cool. Right. I just, I love Marvin Gaye. Here we go.
Yeah.
But it became about who was, and because I remember when I was a kid, it was about my dad's got more money than your dad. My dad drives a better car than your dad, which was bullshit anyway. Yeah. That was bullshit. But then it went the other way. It's like, well, yeah, my dad's in a wheelchair. It sort of changed, didn't it? It became kind of quite odd, really. And I think that's sort of become a thing now where people introduce themselves as to, hi, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this, I'm transgender, I'm Gareth. I couldn't care less, mate.
Shows your talent. Shows your talent.
Also, people proud to be on some form of spectrum as well. But then forgetting, if you take about the autism spectrum, people are proud to be on the spectrum, if you like, which is horrible, whatever. But then they forget about the 25% that can't leave the house because they're so autistic. Do you know what I mean? They're not put into that same bracket of autism, are they?
No. Yeah. And I found a lot in that whole autism vaccine debate a few years ago, where the film Vaxxed came out and there was, these links between autism and the massive increase in the vaccine schedule, childhood vaccine schedule, all sorts of stuff. And when you spoke about stuff, I would get people having a go, just saying, oh, so I'm autistic, so you're saying basically that I shouldn't exist then. It's like,
Where does that come from?
I'm not saying that. I'm asking the question whether something was caused by something. And like you just made the point, you might be absolutely fine being a highly functioning person with a little bit of autism that's still mucking around on Twitter calling people like me a knobhead. But like you say, there's a lot of people that can't leave the house. Yeah, I did some work for an autism charity, played some charity football matches with them and played some gigs. Mate, some of these kids are struggling, mate.
Yeah.
Are really struggling. And you're just looking at the parents and you just feel for them.
I know.
Yeah,
it destroys the whole lives, man. Not just
yeah,
there,
totally,
like,
mate.
Family.
Yeah, and it wasn't a thing.
No,
like it wasn't like people yeah. like to pretend it was. It really wasn't a thing when we were kids at yeah. all.
No,
and that parent's got to go through all that, and then their main concern is when I pass away, who's going to look after my child?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's but, where the state sweeps.
Leave it to Keir Starling. He'll look after it. His government will look after it, and not other governments. I mean, they don't look after anything really. But yeah.
Don't you think Keir Starling sounds like Alan Partridge sometimes? You know, with that, like, we're going to do this.
Yeah. I just hear Zippy from Rainbow. Yes. The time he speaks. I do. Do you know what's funny? Like, me and my brother are having this conversation today because they're talking about this welfare bill, and if it doesn't go through, and people like rebel, like his MPs rebel, there'll be a leadership challenge, and could this be the end of Starmer? And it's like, well, yeah, maybe. Do you know what I mean? Just because your flavour of the month this month doesn't mean your flavour of the month next month. You know, they might sort of see him as being a useful idiot now and not being useful, therefore just being an idiot tomorrow. They might do that, but at the same time, they are protecting this guy. Because I don't know about you guys, but if the Prime Minister's getting his ex-houses, his ex-car, his houses and ex-houses torched by four Ukrainian lads that are either male escorts or male models and whatever, young lads, if that was anyone else, the media would be all over it. Why are they doing it? Who are they? Are you connected to them? Do you know them? It would be front page news. Hell, it would be front page news if they were torching Paul Gascoigne's house,
yes.
let alone the Prime Minister of the country. Yet there's silence and you're like, see, I didn't even know if there was anything in it, but now I definitely know.
No, now there's something in it, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not talking about it. Yeah. I mean, and if, you know, if Starmer's, you know, having it off with Ukrainian lads, as long as they're all over age and consenting, I couldn't give... I've got bigger things in my life to worry about than Keir Starmer's sex life. I ain't bothered.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that the media is so willing to cover up stuff. Then you ask yourself, well, if you're willing to cover up that, what else are you willing to cover up?
Everything. Yeah. And people say to me, well, you know, they can't handle the truth, if you like. But once you get over the hurdle that your government really wants to kill you or really wants to make your life a misery, once you get over that hurdle, everything else is on the table, isn't it?
Yeah, and everything else falls into place as well.
Yes.
Once you realise that essentially you're the carbon they seek to reduce, then you go, oh, now I get it. Now it all makes sense. Like from... Yeah. COVID to Ukraine to Israel, Iran to
Gaza,
mass unfiltered
whatever,
immigration to literally every single thing, COVID, like all of them, you will just go, I'll get it now.
Yeah.
Net zero, the lot, yeah.
The pill's too big to swallow for most people, I'm afraid.
It is, you're right, Chris, yeah. It's too big to handle that the government that they have physically gone to a voting booth and think they've voted in actually wants to kill them. It's like some mass self-harming exercise.
Mm. Yeah, it's it's one of those things as well, like, and I find as someone that's done this for a while, like as you're doing, like just talking about stuff, saying stuff to people, whether it be in a pub, like before our kids, in a pub or whatever, people don't want to hear it because people don't want to be told that their wife's having an affair, which is basically what you're telling them. You're telling them that their whole life up until this point, in terms of what they've believed to be true, is all bollocks.
Yeah.
And no one, people don't want to. I mean, some people embrace that. Some people go, do you know what? I knew something was up. I never quite fitted in. Like, what you do get those people. Yeah, of course you do lots of them. But there's also a large group of people that go, well, actually, if that's true, if he's right about this, then he's right. Then all of this stuff that I've invested my time and my energy and my money and everything in is all bollocks.
Mm.
Well, I'm not ready to deal with that. So it's easier for me to just attack this dude. And it's like saying to someone, "You, by the way, I was out on a night out last night. I'm so sorry, mate, but I saw Julie.
Your wife.
Yeah. I saw Julie necking some young lad." How many mates are going to go, cheers for letting me know. Appreciate that. Good friend. They're not going to. They're going to go, oh, yeah, you were always jealous of our relationship. And they're going to like have a go at you.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And then later on, they'll come out and go, look, I'm sorry I went off. Yeah, she turns out she was. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they come around in the end, most of the time.
But I suppose just like the people that probably come up to you now and say, I wish I hadn't have had that jab in 2021.
Mate, a lot. A lot. Yeah. But what's funny as well is I think it's a bloke thing as well. Blokes don't tend to like admitting the wrong and apologising. Like, we don't like apologising, really. So I find like, now, especially if I go back to the Isle of Wight, there's some people that obviously gave me shit as a kid and whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're all adults now, obviously. And what they'll do, I had this happen like a handful of times, maybe four or five times, but enough for me to think that there was something to it. And they'll just stick a pint in front of you, right? And then just tap me on the back. Don't get eye contact.
No. Yeah.
And just walk off. And yeah. I go, I know what that was.
Yeah, that's an apology.
That was an apology, but it's our blokes apologising.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But we have used to apologise like that by saying, put kettle on. So yeah. I've got to make you a cup of tea, but you're really apologising to me. How's that work?
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, to be fair, I'll do that. If I've done something to annoy my wife or whatever, I'll be like, can I get anything?
Yeah.
I've not been talked, we've not spoke for an hour. Can I get you anything?
It's a dangerous question.
And I can judge
though, that,
by the reaction if she says no.
Oh. Yeah, you're just going to go on another
still in the doghouse. And then she goes, yeah, go on then, I'll have it, I'll go off. We're friends again.
It's a bunch of flowers, isn't it? It's a classic bunch of flowers. You see a guy with a bunch of flowers. What have you done?
If I couldn't do that. If I came home, if I left here now and went home with a bunch of flowers, that's exactly what I'd get asked. My wife.
Who is she? What are you doing?
We went on a family holiday last year, and I bought Mrs. some presents because it was a birthday or a holiday. And they were like, oh, they're a mum and a sister. Oh, they're really lovely presents, then, Chris. Then when they were talking behind my back, do you think he's having an affair? Because it was a really nice present. My fucking hell. You cannot win. You literally can't win. No, they're all women in her family, so I was just in this nest of vipers. Yeah. And that's what the conversation turned to. What have you been up to then? I'm like, what?
Yeah. You can't defend yourself.
No.
But how'd you prove it?
Yeah. But I've met a lot of people who, I've never met one person yet who says, I wish I'd have had that COVID three dart finish. I've met plenty of people, in fact, everyone that talks to me now about it says to me, even people at school or whatever, when you pick kids up, if I get into these conversations at side of a football pitch with the parents, I'll always say, are you having your booster? Right. And I'm not having it. Well, you had first, whatever, five or whatever it is. I wish I hadn't have had them. They all say, I wish I hadn't have had them. And there's a street near us in Halifax. They call it Death Row. So everyone in there has either died or they've got Big C.
Well, the cancer thing's everywhere. I mean, I remember as a kid, like occasionally now. It's just all the time, like constantly. The
it
amount
wasn't
of time.
A thing, were it? It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't, not really. No, yeah, it wasn't. It
and
like, I'll look at Facebook. I don't tend to post on Facebook, really. I kind of just don't. But I've still got people on there I went to school with and played football with as a kid and whatever. So I use Facebook a little bit. I kind of scroll every now and then. And I used it quite a bit through COVID. Just sort of gauge public opinion in a certain, like, I know it's a microcosm, but it's like there's lots of different people there from different places, different backgrounds. So it's not just like Twitter where it's like, these are the people I follow and I'm in an echo chamber. With Facebook, it's not. And now, like, honestly, the amount of RIPs and I can't believe you're gone. And I'm like, literally like, oh, mate, another one. It's like, and these are people, like, some of them my age, maybe a year, 2 years above me at school. So 45, like, no age, there's
nothing,
age at all.
Nothing, no. There's three people at my son's school, one a parent, one a teacher, another one with the financial guy at the school, all dead in the last 3 months.
It's mad, isn't it?
When they first dished it out, Gareth, I work in a kitchen as a chef, and I think there was 10 of us working in the kitchen. Within 6 months, six of them lost a parent. I mean, they were old. I'm sure they were parents, but I just said to the chef, because he wasn't on board with what I think, but he accepts what I think. And I said, do you not think it's weird? Five of us in this kitchen have lost a parent. And he went, no, six. Who is this thing your dad? And he's like, I said, do you not think that's weird? Yeah. What do you think it is? I'm like, I think you know what I think it is. But
yeah.
If you've got to ask,
I mean, that, I must admit, like, I was trying to remember who it was. It was someone, it was actually... So when we do the show, like we did, you chat for 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
Then we'll go live, whatever. God, I can't remember who it was now. And actually, to be fair, even if I could, I wouldn't want to drop a minute. But anyway, we were just having a conversation before we started. And they said to me, when do you think we're going to start seeing, you know, the fallout from the vaccine? And I went,
what?
Are you fucking serious? I was like, you being serious? I was like, if you're not seeing it, mate, you are in one lucky little enclave, wherever you are. Like,
Yeah,
it's everywhere, mate.
Yeah,
it's man.
What do you think the outcome's going to be, Gareth?
I don't know, really. To be honest, in terms of that, like, you know,
But
I think there were batches. I'm of that way of thinking. I think there were batches, and I think it's a little bit of Russian roulette. I think there'll be a few people out there that maybe had one, two, then saw the light, and will be absolutely fine. Not a problem. You know, it's like anything, isn't it? It's how many times do you pull the trigger? Eventually, one of them's gonna have a bullet in it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the people that were doing the jabs, if you remember, they're just wheeling anybody in to do it. You know, us three could have gone and done it.
Yeah.
Into these centres. So people obviously drawing these things out would have been untrained as well. So it depends on the, if you're getting the bottom mix of that and they haven't shook the bottle up, then you're probably getting a super strong dose of a vial.
Yeah, but you're still in the clinical pub car park, fine.
So you forgot about that. Rosencrown Clinic, yeah.
Didn't like some guy from Busted and his girlfriend, who was a TV presenter, didn't they start administering jabs? I'm sure it was the bass player from Busted or McFly or one of those bands.
Did one of those guys pass away, though, as well? I'm sure one of them guys passed away, McFly or Busted. Anyway.
Well, I know One Direction, one of the lads died. Didn't he fall off a balcony or something?
Yeah, tried flying again.
There's more to know about all these things in there, mate.
Yeah. These musicians, anyway, go on, sorry.
You still do music, Gareth?
I play like two or three Freedom Festivals a year now. Because to be honest, I was working with the Arts Council a bit towards the end because I'd got sick of all the bollocks of music. Like, so when I was younger, I played in a punk rock band. I used to do 6 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And I did that for like 5 years, touring, and we went off to America and Europe and stuff. And I loved it, don't get me wrong. And then I got to the age of really just kind of wanting to settle down, really, like not being a boring bastard, but I quite like my own bed. And as soon as like I had kids, as soon as Laura was born, I'm like, well, I ain't going away long periods of time. And so like even in the summer, like I played up in the Lake District at a music festival, which was Stand in the Light Festival. It was great fun.
Yeah, the good guys, I'm out there.
That's great, that's mate. Nice. And I got a real buzz for it afterwards again. And I was like, oh, man. But I'd still like, I came off stage about 10:30 at night and I still drove back to Derbyshire, which was like best part of 4 hours. Like I just drive through the night. Just I wake up in my own bed with my family. So I kind of was done with it. So I was working with the Arts Council, which I loved. And I was like, we were coming up with these project ideas, putting them to the Arts Council, getting a little bit of funding just to, you know, you weren't getting paid for it, but the funding would pay for the admin and whatever sort of bollocks, posters and shit like that. And that was great because we were taking music to areas where, you know, impoverished areas of the UK. Like obviously we're told we're a first world country, but there's lots of areas you go to and you think, I'm not sure we are, mate.
Yeah.
Old mining communities and stuff in Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, South of Yorkshire, where, you know, the kids are skint, the parents are skint, they can't afford instruments and music lessons and stuff, obviously. So we were going and, you know, taking music to these people, different communities. I loved it, mate. And then, you know, the funding was shite anyway, but COVID killed it. Like they literally just pulled everything. So there was nothing. And so then I was like, do you know what? I'm done with it. And then I started playing like the odd music festival, Freedom Festival here and there. And I love it. And my old guitarist has literally just moved about 30 minutes from me. He was down in London. He's up in Derby now. So about 30 minutes from where I am, with his girlfriend, who's lovely. And she's a musician, piano player, plays the fiddle and stuff as well. And we're like, the other day we were literally like, come on. not like, let's have one more crack at it in that sort of nonsense. You know, and we'll be famous. But just to go and just play in a band again.
Yeah.
And just, because I like playing solo acoustics, cool, but it's also quite lonely, especially like driving for 4 hours listening to Talk Sport when you could be, you know, having a few beers with your bandmates and that sort of stuff. So
I think I saw you live actually, Gareth, at your dad's. I went to the one in Wembley, I think about 2014. I think you played live.
Oh, mate, that was right. The world's changed a bit since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
My missus bought me tickets to see your dad. She bought me two tickets. She wouldn't go with me. She listened to me, and she's on board, but she's just not that. She bought me two tickets. I couldn't get anyone to go with me. I had to go on my own.
Oh, mate.
I still enjoyed it.
It was quite a nice energy in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it.
It was a nice vibe. But
they've killed all that as well, haven't they? Your dad used to be able to go and play at these places. And now,
he's banned from Europe. Yeah. Banned from Australia. Banned from...
Is he actually banned from going to the countries?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'd be arrested.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it's not just that, because this is mad. So as soon as that ban went through, for some reason I got an email from the Dutch government. I don't know how they even got my email, but it was me they emailed.
Just a coincidence, mate.
Found it.
Yeah.
So I messaged my dad. I was like, I've just had this email. And And then I put it on social media, like, once he'd approved it, that actually, no, this is real. Like, he's been banned on terrorism charges. And I got an email from Nick Griffin. Remember Nick Griffin?
Yeah, I BNP. Do remember Nick Griffin.
Yeah. He emailed me, which I was like, Nick Griffin? I feel like I'd never spoke to him before in my life at this point. And he was just making the point. He was like, just to let you know, like, you don't know me, but just so I've just been made aware of your father's ban, that actually he's banned from the Schengen list, which is about 30 countries. He said, it don't work like that. He was like, Canada, New Zealand, the US, bunch of others, Australia, but obviously he's already banned from Australia. They take the Schengen list as well. So they would look and go, right, he's not banned from New Zealand, but he's banned from the Schengen list. Yeah, we're banned from here then. So he's basically, well, he's banned from everywhere but Britain. It's mad.
Right? That is insane, isn't it?
It is, because he was supposed to be talking at an anti-war rally in Amsterdam. That's what that was all about. So it's like you were talking at an anti-war rally. But it went even more sinister, right? So when they banned him, he wasn't allowed to go to the country. So then it was like, fine, whatever, like, can't do anything about that now. So he was going to go live by video link to give this speech. It's all about love and, you know, how we're all one, you know, real scary terrorism stuff. And so they banned that, right? He wasn't allowed to be on the screen.
Virtually go there.
Wasn't allowed to virtually go there. So then they went, okay, fine, we'll play the audio. No, we're banned from playing the audio. So then... an organizer of it, Jewish guy as well, bearing in mind it was, you know, pro-Israel Zionist groups that got, that they kicked off the ban. They got it started, yeah. Really. So this Jewish guy comes up on stage with the speech that he's asked Dad to send him. He starts reading it. The police pull out all the mics and stuff. The words aren't even allowed to be read by anyone else.
Bloody hell. That's so when you know you've left your mark.
And in the end, obviously, there's some other people giving speeches and whatever, and this guy goes to his car with his mobile phone, films himself reading the speech, and then they put it out online as part of the, you know, live stream for the event across Holland. But it's like, you're at a point where you're banning a 70-year-old man who's never been arrested for a crime, accused of a crime, charged with a crime, banned from the country, banned from appearing on a TV, banned from his voice being heard, like the old days of Jerry Adams, where you'd have an impersonator.
Yeah. I thought it was weird as a kid.
It was so strange.
Understand Jerry Adams anyway.
It's like, I can see his lips moving, but yeah. I'm not allowed to hear his voice.
Thing is, though, Gareth, I've listened to your dad for quite a long time, and he's got quite a violent attitude, hasn't he, when he talks?
Oh, yeah, big time. He's a bit like Jerry Adams, actually.
You can feel that aggression coming off him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's mad, though, isn't it? And that's, you know, and you've got, you know, child traffickers and drug runners and arms dealers just flying around left, right, and centre.
And that's just in British government.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
I remember seeing your dad in early 80s, right? Because obviously I used to watch snooker and stuff like that in 80s and stuff, and saw his perm and stuff like that. His Bodie and Doyle perm.
Your mum had one and all. It was all the rage, wasn't it?
Our mum had one naturally. She had a proper afro. but I remember seeing him on with Frank Boff. And I don't know if you've seen that clip where he's got the guy from Halifax, Todmorden, who saw a UFO.
Oh, I've seen that. You sent me that, Dom. Yeah, you sent me that.
Yeah, and your dad was he was doing, obviously, the sport on Morning Breakfast Time on BBC. Frank Boff were interviewing this guy, but your dad actually talked to him. And I often wondered if what he thought of that conversation at that point, because obviously he hadn't gone through his waking up process, that probably 83 or 84. It'd be an interesting question to ask him for you.
No, I will do. Yeah. It'd be interesting, yeah. I mean, I imagine, like, he was probably quite open to stuff even then, because my granddad, so my dad's dad, he died when I was 9. But, I mean, he was old. He had decent innings even at that age. He was a lot older than me, than my grandma. And he fought in the military in the Second World War, but as a medic. So he was in, I think he was in North Africa in Italy, and he was in that region, and was basically seeing how the Catholic Church was just taking everything off the people while they're all starving, and all the, you know, the priests and stuff and all cardinals were all just sat there drinking wine and laughing, and just hated organized religion and the establishment and all of that, even back then. So I imagine Dad was raised with a kind of questioning attitude anyway of the realities of life and whatever, I would imagine. Like, do you know what's funny, though? I found out, and this was when this was when all the anti-Semitism stuff was kicking off. So when was this? 2016, when Dad was touring a lot around Europe and stuff, and these pro-Israel groups were trying to get him banned from everywhere. And my sister's ex-husband, his brother, I mean, this is like, it's my uncle's best friend's milkman, but he basically loved all that genealogy stuff. And yeah. So he'd done a load of research into their family tree and all sort of stuff. And obviously he was bored one day, so he did ours. And it transpires that my granddad, so my dad's dad, was a traveler and lived on traveler sites. So we're a whole family of gypsies, basically. And my dad was the first in our family to be born in a hospital, into a house, like not into a caravan. And we were trying to prove that they were Romani. And I think they were Romani, but I couldn't find enough evidence to prove it, because they say that the Romani gypsies are the descendants of the tribe of Simeon, of the Israelites. And I was thinking, oh, mate, if I can prove that, this is going to be mustard.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll all be self-hating Jews then, won't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I couldn't prove it. I couldn't find enough evidence that they were a Roman and not just like, you know, just travelers in general, you know, sort of thing. Before that would have been quite funny. But
yeah, that would have been funny.
Yeah, but mad, isn't it? Yeah, so what's funny is when I found that out, I think I'm 43 and I've lived in 35 houses, flats, whatever, 35. So I think by this point, I probably lived in 33 or something in you know, 35 years or whatever it was, a ridiculous amount. And I never understood why. Like I've always been nomadic. Like I've never settled places ever. Like we moved around quite a lot as a kid. But then even when I left home at 15, just about to turn 16. I moved in with my sister in a flat and then was there for 6 months or somewhere else for six, blah, blah, blah. Then the tenancy had run out and blah, blah, blah. And someone would find out we'd sublet a room, so we'd all get kicked out, and ended up just, you know. And I never understood why. Why am I going to fucking settle anywhere? And I'm like,
you were a bit like that, Chris, weren't you?
I was just thinking that. I've been the same. Just
we had coloured, horses,
but we've always thought that we had some gypsy in us, haven't we? Because
you might well do, yeah.
Yeah, we always had horses, and I've always had an epitome towards vests.
I'm a bit like that, and all, yeah, to be fair, and hubcaps. But no,
we actually lived in a static caravan as well.
Yeah, we did.
So,
yeah.
Really? So in the village where we live, right? So you've got my dad, who looked like a typical gypsy, had a transit pickup, vest on, flat cap, right? And we moved into this little farm. We were derelict in the late 70s. We lived in a static caravan for 3.5 years. So they all thought we were gypsies up the village, apart from me. My mum were black.
Yeah. We're a combo.
a combo. Gypo black.
My mate called me a gypsy at school because we were living in that caravan. And in front of all class, I was fucking mortified. It was like the first year of high school. And Ben Wadsworth, who went to school, he went to junior school with me. And I was taking a piss out of him. He went, you can shut up. You're a fucking gypsy. You should live in a caravan. You know, your gut just thought, oh God, why did you say that?
Amazing. Yeah. But no, you might well be then. We're all gypsies together. That's fine. But it's funny, isn't it, how that stuff sort of follows you. Although now, like I'm settled where I live now, but I have got horses out the back. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's why. But they're not my horses. I'm not made of money. But they're in the field behind.
This is more settled I've been, and I keep saying to Missy, wish we had a bit of a bigger yard, I'd get some chickens.
Before they make it illegal. I live right in the country now, and I love it, mate. Like I was always I grew up on the Isle of Wight, so I just grew up on the beach. Like you just wore shorts and flip flops for like 6 months of the year. And then I became a bit of a city boy. I lived in London for a bit, and then I moved to Derby, which I know it's not a very big city, but I'm still in the centre of the city. And then after a while, like the older I got, I was like, I couldn't imagine living in a city now.
No.
Even just driving into the studio here. I mean, like I say, Derby's not, what is it, like 250,000 people. So it's not like a major city. But even just driving here, once you hit the ring road, I'm like, if I had a gun in my glove compartment, like I'd be putting it in my mouth half the time. Like, it's so annoying, stressful.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, isn't it, how you change.
I live in London.
I start to see the fields, I'm like,
I live right on the tops of the Pennines, in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's beautiful up there. Like Huddersfield's great though, because you mentioned Huddersfield earlier. Like you're literally just in a dip, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I remember gigging.
Very unique. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the place. It was a pub in the main stretch and it had a big window, and the stage was sort of facing the audience like that, and then the big window was at the side. So people were just walking up and down the street.
What if it was?
And I remember being on a I was only young.
Was it across from the university?
I can't remember.
I
remember just sitting there playing acoustic guitar, and I remember this lad, what you'd call a chav now, it used to be called townies in the old days,
yeah,
was like, look, or a Kev. Remember that one? It was a Kevin. And he was looking in, and then he came in, and he hadn't sort of stopped eye contact. And I thought, oh, mate, I'm going to get chinned, am I, in Huddersfield? And so he sort of walked up, and he went, and I sort of stepped back thinking, right, what's going to happen? Anyway, he grabbed the mic, and I just carried on playing the riff I was playing. I can't remember what it was. One of my own songs. And he just started emceeing to the audience. And the barman went to come over to go like, what you do? Oh, this guy is pretty good, right? And he went on for probably only about 30 seconds or so, but it was amazing. And then he put the mic back in the thing, stepped off. I kicked in with a chorus. Everyone cheered. And at the end, the guy was like, mate, your mate coming in, that was mustard. I like that. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Literally no idea who he was. And he just disappeared off back into, and it, I'll never forget that. And that was, I was like, that was just a really cool moment. Yeah.
Do you, a quick question about, there's lots of sort of conversation about how many people are waking up and how many people aren't waking up. Do you actually think there is a movement of people waking up, or do you think it's just the same as what it was pre-2020?
No, I think there's a lot of people that woke up. And I think once you've woken up, you can't, like, you can't unsee stuff.
Yeah.
I think they've tried to corral them a bit.
Yes.
I think that's what a lot of Trump is about, because I think the awakening was happening a lot before that. You know, in the mid-2000s, when there was this movement, you know, whether people want to think whatever about Brexit and all these kind of things, what these movements were telling me, at least, is that people aren't happy with the status quo. And even if you just look at it on that level, like, these people might not necessarily get the bigger picture, but they do now realize that they're being shafted.
Yes.
And that for me is like, well, that's half the battle. Once you realize that, now what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
So the Brexit movement happened. There was lots of movements in Europe, similar, was it Frexit and Jexit and Nexit, where else, all the other countries. And then obviously, you know, there was a movement in America where they weren't happy with, you know, Obama and all this kind of stuff. And I think what they did is and also at that point, the alternative media started getting much bigger. Like, I remember when Dad first started, like, there was him, Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, basically it, pretty much. It just wasn't stuff going around. And then I think they basically went, right, we need to give these people a hero, basically. And I think that's what they did with Trump. They've now told them they're winning and told them to trust the plan. And all I hear when I hear trust the plan is shut up and sit down, it's sorted, leave it to us.
Yeah.
And actually, nothing's going to get sorted by politicians. I don't believe that for a minute. No. And what annoys me is your likes of your Alex Jones, they used to know that. And yes. I think they do. Yeah. I think they do know that still.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, you know, for me, call me a conspiracy theorist. That Sandy Hook stuff, that near on $1 billion fine, which was just mental. Where's that gone, by the way?
Yeah, yeah. It's still open and running, isn't it?
Still up and running.
Yeah.
But it's just pushing pro Trump and pro Elon Musk stuff all the time.
Pro keep your mouth shut.
Pro keep your mouth shut. Yeah. And that's also what the big Christianity thing is as well. Turn the other cheek and that sort of stuff, which to me just means don't do anything. Don't worry about it. Allow yourself to be screwed over. So I think that's what's happened. But I'm also seeing then a lot of people that kind of, they woke up, they realized stuff was shit, they got corralled into a Trump, or they got corralled into a reform that are now starting to go, oh yeah, maybe, you know, Richard Tice is voting for assisted dying and the infanticide bill.
But like you said earlier,
talking about ID cards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe these aren't the alternative actually. And so they're starting to come back a little bit more now. But yeah, I think people on the whole are waking up. And to be honest, I've said it for a while, even before COVID, but COVID was huge for it, was I used to have like three groups of mates and never the three should meet. So you'd have like your football mates, you'd have your muso arty farty types of mates, and then you'd have your, you know, tinfoil hat lot, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with the arty farty lot, you could probably get into a little bit of geopolitical stuff, but it would have to be real 5 cents base level stuff, you know. Football lot, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd literally be sat in the pub before the game and it'd be like, oh, fucking hell, Ike's off on one again. Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then what I started noticing was actually I'd be there and a mate would come up and he'd go, mate, have you seen this? And I'd be like, yeah, I told you that last year. He'd be like, it's fucked, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. And then they'd walk off. And then that carried on more and more, and I realized that actually, in a weird kind of way, the Arty Farty lot actually became the worst of them in terms of falling for propaganda, and they, because they became really woke, they bought into all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so actually, like, the football lot started being quite awake, and I was like, that's interesting. And then when COVID happened, all my muso mates were all Bill Gates fanboys. And it was the footballers that were speaking out. It was your Matt Letizia's, it was Trevor Sinclair sneaking stuff in on Sky Sports and stuff like that. And it was like Phil Foden refusing to have the jab and all this kind of stuff. And it was like,
good on him.
Good on him. But it's interesting how that had already started, that it was more the football-y, sporty types that actually were starting to ask questions about stuff.
Who was the snooker player? Peter Ebdon. He was talking about that as well.
Yeah, Ebdon. Liam Highfield as well. He spoke out a bit. I think he was world number 38 or something during COVID. He was still quite high up.
Yeah, yeah.
He was speaking out. He emailed me the other day actually about something totally unrelated. But he's a really nice guy, and he was speaking up. And, you had Matt Letizia talking out about stuff.
Yeah, he weren't just talking. He was totally onside, weren't he? He was just a proper...
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah. He was on... But the thing was, it was funny because I was getting messages from footballers during COVID, like big players as well, that were like privately messaging, asking me questions like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I'd reply and go, well, this is what I think, and I might send some literature that I'd found or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were all refusing the jab. And it was funny because a mate of mine, he became a friend, but he you know, used to play for Derby County many years ago and stuff. So I was like in awe when we started chatting. I'm like, fucking hell, I used to watch you play. He's very switched on, and he introduced me to a few footballers, and he was asking me questions and stuff. And then he was part of this group of, I think it was 11 footballers that were representing the other footballers in the Football League. I don't think it included the Premier League, but the Football League.
Right.
And they'd been given a meeting with that Van Tam guy. You remember the Vincent Van Tam?
Yeah, Van Tampon. Yeah,
Jean-Claude Van Tam, yeah. And,
We did a full show on him, actually. We did a research. Well,
he fancies himself as one of the people. He's a football guy, isn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, he's just doing those football analogies, isn't he?
God. Well, Van Tampon, his family, his granddad was the Prime Minister of Thailand, if I remember rightly.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Just like Zahawi, his granddad was the governor of the Bank of Iraq. Yeah.
Mate, he was the guy that formed YouGov as well, wasn't he?
Yeah,
which was the independent poll that was telling us, sort of gaslighting everyone.
You should watch the 3-hour presentation I did on him. Did all his background, all his genealogy.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. If you send me, mate, I'd love to watch that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, but...
Sorry, Van Tampon, I interrupted.
Yeah, no, he said that basically they were being given a Q&A with Van Tam. So these footballers got to ask a bunch of questions that other footballers had put to them about the vaccine. And so he messaged me and was like, can you arm me with some stuff? So I was like, definitely, mate. So I sent it to my dad as well. So my dad wrote some stuff down. I wrote some stuff down. I was like, right, this will fucking do it. Ask him this, right? Because he wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And so anyway, about a week went by and I didn't hear anything. So I messaged him. I was like, what happened with that Van Tam thing? He went, oh, utter bollocks. He went, the Zoom meeting malfunctioned.
You're right.
So every single player, so all 11 of us, on our Zoom thing, he said everyone had their mics muted and they couldn't do anything about it. The only mic that worked was Van Tam's. So Van Tam just gave a 10-minute presentation, he said, which was clearly rehearsed and scripted, and then he signed off. We didn't ask a single question. It was all just utter nonsense. But they were also, other footballers, they were also telling me, because obviously you would talk to people, some of them were really big players, some were like in the Championship, some were in League One, League Two, whatever. But obviously they will generally all come through the same academies. So whilst one footballer might be at Liverpool or Manchester City, they still be best mates with a guy that plays for Stockport County because they came through the academy together. They still holiday together, wives and whatever. And so they will chat and they will have these WhatsApp groups and whatever. So anyway, when Jurgen Klopp, or Jurgen Klot as he became known as, he came out and said, everyone needs to take the jab. Liverpool is 99% vaccinated, or whatever he said, something like that. One of the lads messaged me and was like laughing. He's like, fucking bollocks. He said, utter bollocks. He said, they've got the lowest uptake in the Premier League because they, at that point, they had a lot of Muslim players, like Mo Salah being obviously the most notable of them. He said, they're all refusing it anyway. He said, so it's utter bollocks. He's out there saying we're the highest vaccinated in the league or whatever. He said, they're not anything like it. None of them are. And he said, and also he said, you see, Foden and another footballer, I can't remember which one it was, it might have been John Stones, they got miraculous injuries before a pre-season tournament and couldn't go. It's like, no, it's because of vaccine mandates. They'd refused to have it.
Right.
So they weren't allowed to go and play wherever it was. I can't remember what it was, somewhere in Europe that had, you know, had
my eldest were in the same academy as John Stones.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he came through Barnsley, didn't he?
Yeah. But I remember Klopp saying that people who didn't have the jab were they were as bad as drunk drivers.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Someone.
Yeah. he sounded like an SS commandant when he said that as well, with his German accent.
It's funny, though, as well. You said you got a seven-year-old, Gareth. That's just pre-COVID, I suppose. There was a big push at that point, wasn't there, about jabbing kids? Because you obviously had to fight there. Have you got your jab records, etc.? And I remember reading or hearing something, me and Miss, because we were looking into all this stuff. Obviously, we didn't get any for our child. But there was an article saying if you don't get your kid vaccinated, you're worse than a paedophile. I always remember it. And that was just before COVID, but there was a massive push. You know, they were dragging up Andrew Wakefield and all this other stuff just before. And you can't help but think that they were doing it just before.
Oh, just to plant seeds.
Just get it all going.
Yeah. I found it funny because we were 2019, my oldest was born. My second was born during COVID, so during all the bullshit.
All right.
So when my daughter was born, basically my wife's family's got a history of blood clots.
Right.
And so her like granddad and former granddad passed away on the other side. They were both on like blood thinners and like warfarin or whatever, and this side of stuff. So she had consultant care because my wife was born with like an acute spina bifida. So we had consultant care for Elora. And anyway, so we're talking to the consultant, said to the consultant, like, we ain't doing vaccines. Like, we're not doing that. We ain't doing that. We've done our own research. It's not just YouTube videos. We're not doing it. And to be fair to him, he was sound. Like, yeah, no worries, mate. So then we saw there's the Vit K, like the vitamin K thing. I hadn't done research on that. I was like, what's this Vit K thing? I don't know what this is all about. So he explained it. And so so Gemma was like, well, we've got blood clots in our family. And he went, oh, no, I'll write no Vit K then. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You don't, because that essentially you're
your
giving.
Blood thickener. Yeah.
It's a blood thickener, yeah. So like, no, okay, right. So it's on the record, done. So we're sorted then. The midwife was lovely, great. And then anyway, so we're in hospital. We have Elora, and then this, I can say kid, because I was probably old enough to be a dad, came around and I basically had to sign off the forms that, yeah, you guys are all cool, everyone's healthy, everyone's fine, you can all go home. So she went, oh, you've not had the Vit K? And I went, no. I said, no, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to get into a vaccine debate here. I was like, it's fine. The consultant said, you know, because she's got a history of blood thickening in the family, not to have it. And she, honestly, she went, could get a brain hemorrhage, but fine. And walked off. Well, see, you don't really mess. She's only small, but you don't mess with my wife. And it was literally like, I thought she was going to fly at her. It was like, what a ridiculous thing to say. So she skulked off. And then when we had Ophelia, that was in 2021. And it was in the height of all the bullshit that was going on. And I was like, do you know what? Like, my brother had just had his second about 3 weeks before and had had a nightmare and was kicked out of the hospital, escorted out, all this bullshit, right? And I'm like, right, I'm not, that's not happening, basically, right? But I'm also not going along with your bullshit. So how's that going to work? Because Derby was particularly bad. Like, Derbyshire police were infamous. Remember them flying drones, all that stuff, and chucking dye in reservoirs so people couldn't swim, all that stuff. Just mad. Well, the hospital was just as mental as well. I'm doing that because it literally is right behind me. And I was like, right, well, I'm not going to go along with it. So I'm going to literally put something out. And this was in a couple of days before. I was like, I'm just putting something out there that it's not happening. I don't know how it's not happening, but it's not happening. And because what I found is a lot of people were doing was going, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it unless. Well, as soon as you've said unless, mate, you're doing it. Because they're going to create the unless. Yeah. They're going to create lots of unless.
That line in the sand, they're going to create it. Yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah. So I just, bang, I'm putting that out there. Honestly, mate, it was unbelievable. I walked in. I was not asked to wear a mask once. I literally just walked around. I was going out to the car. I was getting stuff. I was coming back in. They didn't try and put the swab up my nose or anything like that. They tried to do it with Jem, but she's got like this benign tumor thing in her nose. So she's like, well, if you go up there, like, it's just going to piss blood everywhere. They went, oh, God, yeah, don't worry about it. And then I'm sat there and I'm like, Well, one, that's amazing because you've just put that out into the universe and the universe has gone, yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah.
But I was like, why are they so bothered about sticking up your nose? But they don't care. It's not even mentioned about putting out mine. And Gemma was obviously like, well, why are you bothered? You don't want it anyway. I was like, that's not the point. The point is, why are they bothered about, oh, because if I test positive, nothing happens. If you test positive, you're a hospital admission. I'm not because I'm just a visitor. So you're a hospital admission. So in the statistics, how many people are currently in hospital with COVID, you'll be one of them, even though you're having a baby. Or even though you've broke your leg or your arm or whatever, you know, it's like, oh, that's the scam. That's how you lie with statistics, which is funny because that was the book in 2020 that Bill Gates, you know, he does his five books to read this year. One was called How to Lie with Statistics. You're like, fucking, they always
Nonsense.
tell you, don't they? They always
I'm on
tell
a
you.
chapter in my book about what I'm doing. I'm writing a book about all the presentations we did through 2020, 2021. And I've done the first 15 were on Boris Johnson. It's the longest ones. But this next chapter is on Matt Wancock. And
Oh,
one of the
mate.
headlines here was this was from 2019 when he was just taken over as health, whatever, commissar. Children could be banned from school if they have not had the MMR vaccine. This was in 25th of April, 2019. So they were ramping it up. I've got
Oh,
interviews
big
with them
time.
in interviewed in videos, and he was at the World Economic Forum that year as well, talking about antibiotic resistance and all this other stuff.
I was just listening to a lady, a girl actually, on VSRF. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Gareth. And it was this young girl, and she wants to go to school. And she got so she had to, she had no jabs, and then they had to go into school. She had to have jabs. This is in New York in America. So she had all the jabs in one go. They damaged her so bad that she couldn't have the last one. So she's one jab off going to school, and they won't let her go to school, even though she went to a pharmacy. And the guy said, "We're not jabbing you because she's so damaged." And she was trying to get it, and she was still saying, "I still want it because I want to go to school." And mum's like, "But you could die," and she still wants to get it. I mean, America's
I don't know
another
what to
level.
say to someone like that though. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't stop it shooting itself in the head. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Once you've got to that point,
I
I mean,
mean, America's another level, isn't it? On the old jabbers.
America's kind of on the crazy scale. We're doing our best though, aren't we? We're
We're
trying.
catching up, but I mean,
We're
last
trying.
week at my son's school, he was the only one in the class on his own, and they had one shot in each arm, three different jabs in each arm. These kids at school, some of them were taken home that day because they were sick.
I just don't know where the parents are with this. Like, you know, if you've got, you know, kids over 16, over 18, what, you know, and they're adults and their own free will, whatever, you know. But particularly in America, there were people putting images on their Facebook, like, look how amazing we are. Like our 6-month-old or our 4-year-old, you know, we've put them in vaccine trials, and you're just like,
I know that girl,
Do you
bloody hell,
remember
that
that girl
girl
that
with a
went
pipe up her
paralegic?
nose.
Are you in, like,
Paraplegic,
sat in a wheelchair, and a mum put forward for vaccine trials, and he's like 14, 15, is
Yeah,
it?
you're fucking
Cheers,
mind.
mum. Thanks, mum.
Life
My miss,
gone.
wasn't it? My missus said to someone at work the other day, said, "Oh, kid's been up all night, had two jabs in each leg." And she said, "Oh, what were they for?" And they went, "I don't know." I mean, people put more research into the next car or the dog that they buy than
Yeah,
what's going to be put
should I
into
have
them.
Netflix or
Well, that's
Amazon
it. Disney
Prime?
Channel. I'll tell you the one of these though, mate. One of these at the minute is the Ozempic and the weight loss stuff.
Oh
That's weird, isn't it,
yeah. That is
mate? So I was
so
in
weird.
the gym the other day, and there's a lad who's lost a load of weight, which is amazing. He's lost a load of weight. It's great, but he's lost it too quickly, right? I PT'd for years. People don't lose weight like that unless they're ill, basically. So I looked at him, and my first thought was I should compliment him on the weight he's lost. But then in my head, I'm going, well, no, because if I compliment him on his weight he's lost, and he says, yeah, I've got thyroid cancer, then it's sort of going to backfire on me. So I'm just not going to say anything. I just nodded and went, all right. Anyway, one of the other lads in the gym sort of sidled up next to me. He's a bit switched on. He's not said it, but he says things that I think you kind of know what's going on. And I went, all right, mate. And he was looking over at this guy, and I went, so what's the deal there, man? I was like, because he's lost so much weight so quickly. And I said, I swear he's sort of starting to look like a little bit jaundiced as well. And he went, oh, yeah, he's on those fucking weight loss jabs, isn't he? I went, oh, you are kidding me, mate. Anyway, when I got home, I told my wife, and I was like, oh, bloody hell. Mate, she just reeled off a string of names of people that we know. Oh, yeah, they're all on it as well. I was like,
No, but it, what it does
are
is,
dying.
Yeah, what it does is, it doesn't just lose the body fat; it reduces the muscle mass as well. So that's so why that's why the face goes saggy. Yeah, the muscles go saggy because.
But also, I just read about it recently that it actually stops the food from going through your intestines as fast. That's why you stop eating. So they get like belches, and that's why some people vomit. It's because you've basically got rotten food going through your guts. It's going through so slowly.
Well, also, it's, I mean, the diabetic drugs, aren't they, really? That's what they were made for. So they're not even made for that. There's do they call them secondary drugs or something, where they've found another use for them?
Yeah.
A reuse for them.
Yeah. But it's funny because I said to Dom, like, if you flick through the newspapers, Daily Mail, for instance, it'll have stories about it, but not necessarily positive. They can be quite negative, but they're still selling it, aren't they? They're still constantly selling.
Oh, it's constantly selling it.
They just say how rare it is. Yeah. People go, well, if it's rare, then why not? I could have a heart attack on a treadmill.
Yeah, I would say that it's the neck. There's something in that that's going to. We're going to see it in either sterilization or something in it that's going to knock people off silently.
It's already killing people.
Yeah.
It's already killing people. And you think, like, even if you apply the way they, you know, lie and the way they admit little bits just to allow a little valve out, because if they denied it was killing anyone, and you'd have voices going, well, hang on a minute, my uncle died of it. So they allow it a little bit, but they always play down the number of people. So when they're saying, like, I think it's 80 odd in the UK have died.
You know, it's more than that.
That's still quite a lot, though, isn't it?
But if you mix that with the COVID jabs and the boosters and whatever else other drugs are on, that could be another missing piece of the jigsaw that they want in their
cocktail totally, of death. Mate.
Yeah, totally. And you know, the depopulation stuff's everywhere. Even these assisted dying bills and infanticide bills, that's all that's about as well. It's just more killing, just isn't it?
But at the same time, you know, it's not, these aren't just happening in this country either. Another worldwide rollout, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence, Dom. I sent him an article yesterday, Gareth, and I don't know where it was from, some medical, but it was saying, oh, our population count could have been wrong for the last 20, 30 years, wherever. So it could be, what they're doing there, they're putting the thing in your head already, when they could actually just announce there's less people.
They actually said estimate, Chris. Yeah. It's a population estimate. So they don't even know the real, where they explain it to everybody is they've got every toenail, that they're counting everything. They know exactly it's 8.2 billion, but they don't really.
No.
Which we knew that anyway, but.
No, not at all. But also, they can, unless we get ID cards, and then they might digital ID, then they might know, mightn't they? Yeah. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous, mate. Like, the fact that we're at a point where, you know, I'm not one of those people that's like, for me, there's a conversation about abortion, like, whatever. I'm not one of these people that's going to sit here as a 43-year-old man and tell a 14-year-old kid she's got to have her abuser's baby. Like, I'm in no position to do that. And I think there is a grey area there. Like, you do get your Christians that, you know, but, and then you get your liberals, which are like, fuck it. I think there is a conversation, and I'm, you know, whatever. But to legalise something like that up until the point of birth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how anyone who isn't, and the fact that they cheered in Parliament when it passed, they were whoop-wooing, and you're like, oh, dude, this is a death cult, mate. Because there's only one mindset that cheers at that, and that is a complete psycho. That's a nutcase.
Beyond psycho, it's. But it's like the assisted dying thing. There's a discussion there, even, isn't there? I mean, if you're in an horrible situation, but then it's not that, is it? It's like, then it gets pushed back to if you're feeling a bit down this week,
Mate, you see where it went in Holland, Canada. And in Canada, like the Canada stuff's crazy.
Yeah.
So it started off exactly the same as it is here. You know, it's just, if you're terminally ill and you're dying anyway and you're in agony, right? And then it became, well, if you're not terminally ill, but you're in agony.
Yeah.
And then it became, but it doesn't have to be physical agony, it could be mental agony. So basically, if you're sad, if you're depressed, and it became, if you feel like you're a burden. Yeah. Bear in mind, this is happening at the whole time that everyone's being financially screwed and more people are going to end up feeling like a burden. And then in Holland and in Canada, I mean, they've killed children. Like, we're talking like teenage kids that are sad and depressed. And it's like, well, if you're not sad and depressed, or at least, you know, in some kind of struggling with mental health issues in a world as mad as this, I don't trust you. Everyone's got issues going on. So you're creating more and more people. And I interviewed a guy who had I think it was a brain, he had, it was more than one brain tumor, but benign, like he wasn't going to kill him. It was affecting his life in certain ways, like, you know, brain fog and, you know, stuff like that. But he wasn't, they weren't growing, weren't going to kill him. And he's a father of two young kids. So he was in hospital and going in for checkups and, you know, CT scans, all this kind of thing. Anyway, he got offered by the receptionist on three separate occasions euthanasia, the maid thing. So he was like, have you ever thought about dying? Well, no, not really. I've got two kids.
Yeah.
Like, but three times he was offered it, you know, yeah, you know, and you're like, and he came on, we chatted, we had an interview, he's a really nice guy. And you're like,
oh my God.
But what really was really sinister was when he was explaining to me, because I found it funny at first, like, have you ever thought about killing yourself? And then, because it's just so laughable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, like, yeah, it's
no,
laughable.
Obviously not.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in hospital trying to get treated.
Yeah.
But when he then explained the reason why it was being offered, which was because he couldn't afford his medical bills.
Fucking hell.
So then it becomes that, well, actually.
That's dark, isn't it, that?
Yeah, because then it's like, dark. Well, you can't afford to live. Yeah. So your family, they're struggling because everyone's trying to find the money.
Oh, because
aren't
of
they,
you.
You rotten bastard.
Thing.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a burden, really. Your kids would have a much better life. If you just popped your clogs, think how much money they'd save.
You know,
and that's what they're doing. And it's like.
You was one of the founders of the first euthanasia charity in Britain, don't you?
It was
David Attenborough's dad.
Oh, yeah.
So really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I'm sure them suicide pods on Futurama were supposed to be satire.
Oh mate, yeah. Because it goes all the way into like Julian Huxley and the eugenics stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Brave New World and all this kind of stuff.
We've done 10 episodes on the Huxley's genealogy and all that stuff. Done about 20 hours on them.
Never ending series,
yeah.
It's mad, mate. It's mad.
Before we go, who came up with Iconic? Great name.
I think that was Jay.
Right.
Yeah, it was Jay. Yeah, it wasn't me. Yeah. I always err on the side of not. I'm always frightened of ego, to be honest. For instance, I had a show called Right Now, and I liked that because it was just called Right Now, and it was current, so it was like it's Right Now. It's what I mean right now. And then the guys were like, "Oh, you know, going to rebadge it, blah blah." And they were like, "Gareth Hyde Tonight," and I was going, oh, "Really? That sounds like a real knob. Like I'm announcing my name. Like I hate that." And but I was outvoted because it's like. We're the only democracy in the East Midlands. And so, I was like, oh, right, yeah, okay. So every week now, welcome to Gareth Hyde Tonight. And
All right, actually, Gareth, to be fair.
Yeah,
right now
you.
Right now sounds a bit...
No.
If it's a TV right, show then, from 80s.
If we did
yeah,
it,
well, yeah,
name,
it probably does, to be fair. Yeah. But I think it's just, you know, you hear someone, every time you hear Cristiano Ronaldo refer to himself in third person, it's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, and but it is what it is, you know, it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, I got outvoted. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't come up with it.
That's why we came up with sheep farm, or I came up with sheep farm, because we were actually brought up on a sheep farm, so that's that, and we're living in a fucking sheep farm, don't we?
Don't we just, mate? Jeez, in a caravan.
Gypsy bastards.
Yeah, gypsy bastards, yeah. Probably, yeah, so anyway. Anyway, okay, shall we leave it there?
I've enjoyed this, mate.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
It'd be great to talk again. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I finished a podcast just before we came on, and I was saying to her as well, I'd love to talk longer, but my wife's away for 4 days.
Most of it.
Well, no, I've got the kids, mate. So it's so I've literally had to fit like basically 7 days worth of stuff into like 3 days. Mm. So it's just like bosh, 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 bosh. But then I'm looking forward to it. Like I'm going to have a weekend with kids. Like it'd be amazing. And the weather's supposed to be nice. Climate change.
Yeah, global climate warming change. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last weekend was supposed to be the hottest and records began. I was looking at the drizzle going, the Met Office just chats pure pish, don't they? Literally just make it up.
You're just bollocks, isn't it? Absolute bollocks.
Do you know something I noticed the other day in numerology? That they've always talking about 1.5. If it goes at 1.5, we're screwed. 1.5, 6, and then C is a 3. So it's 666. Just an observation.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about.
But the Met Office is just a military operation. It was set up by the Navy. So the Met Office is basically rebranded as the Navy, really, in the mid-1800s. But
you vanished there, Fire.
Oh, you did,
yeah. Good. Was there no weather before the mid-1800s?
Do you know what's funny, right? Because I do these walks, like, for my little walking channel. So I do these walks. Anyway, I did this walk a little while back, and I found that, well, I didn't find it. Everyone knows it's there. Like, I discovered it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like the last medieval lighthouse in Britain. And it's amazing. It's on the Isle of Wight. Anyway, I got chased by some cows. It's all good fun. But I was reading up on the story of this place. Anyway, it was built by a guy that had nicked a load of wine. So basically a ship had wrecked and a load of wine had come onto shore. He'd nicked a load of it. And to basically pay penance for nicking the wine off of the Catholic Church, he had to build this lighthouse out of his own pocket. Anyway, when I was reading it, I was like, it was shipping wine from Yorkshire to France because Yorkshire was producing the best wine in Europe, so they're shipping it to France. And you're going,
that's, yeah,
how's that working with climate change then?
I don't remember reading it. I don't remember reading that in Irish.
I think in Owen Firth, you know.
Exactly, do you know what I mean? But we had vineyards all over Yorkshire, like the Romans were growing fine wines and all that sort of stuff. You know, so it was hotter then when, you know, Pontius Pilate was flying around in a Land Rover Discovery. Do you know what I mean? Just utter bollocks.
And they used to have markets on the Thames because it's rust solid.
In the Victorian times, you had the...
No one mentioned it.
Climates change.
Yeah.
They do. And that's fine. It's all good fun.
Yeah, man. It's, anyway.
And if the climate did go at 1.5 in England, so what? Happy days.
That story, though, of that guy, though, finding that wine reminds me of my dad. Because we used to live near the M62 and a truck fell over the barrier and rolled down the fucking embankment into our field. And it was full of, like, car parts, air filters, oil filters.
It were oil filters, yeah.
Our barn was full of them. And when the guy came to assess where things had gone, and he said, where's all the stuff then? I said, I don't know. I don't know. It must have washed away or whatever. They were all up in our barn. So he sold Zach's motor spares down the road.
Yeah, because he always used to have them in the back of his van and he'd try and sell them to anyone. I also remember a load of sand came down there once, that tipped over, when he were building the house. So he had his wheelbarrow and all the sand to our house.
Mate, the Lord
get any more gypsy than that, does it?
Yeah, more provides sand. Anyway, all right then, cheers. Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you're joining us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
Cheers, Gareth.
See you, mate.
I will cry.